So we're going to talk to Kat Woods. Kat Woods was the winner of a Fringe Review Outstanding Theatre Award a few years back for Belfast Boy. And she is a writer. And finally, Kat, your show, which is called...
Kelly Muck.
You've turned your attention on yourself, I hear, on my grapevine.
Yeah, I have. And it's actually slightly more difficult than I thought it would be. I thought I would be okay with it. But it's been a massive learning curve, I think. And I find it cathartic and slightly healing in a way. No, that sounds crazy. Whenever you see the play, you'll be like, what? You find this healing. But I do, and I think that it's important. It's important for me to tell this narrative because the piece itself is about class, and we're an underrepresented voice in the theatre, as it is a middle-class domain. And in order to tell a truthful version of what I wanted to tell, I had to tell my story.
Hmm. And interestingly, a lot of playwrights, their first play is the story of themselves, and then luckily for the world, they burn it, and then they start writing their play. But I guess you've written a lot, and you've had a lot of success, so you're ready to write this story now, I guess.
I think I always wanted to protect my family. And it is, like, some of the stuff is very raw, and it is difficult to write, so I think I needed to write about others to find my own, I suppose, my own story and to tell it. And also, I think I'm a better writer now. I'm more aware of my own voice as a writer, so I think that maybe I was able to offer it more justice, maybe. Mm. I don't know.
How do you stay objective, and do you need to be objective?
I think it's really, really important to have a good team of people around you. I don't have anyone employed. It's just friends that I get to come and see early previews of work, and they help me with that objectivity. Well, I think they do. It is tough, but you have to have, like, it's almost like you have a split personality, and you have to kind of tell yourself off, and you have to kill your darlings. It's all about killing your darlings, because sometimes it just does not work. And you don't want to seem preachy. Like, I don't like watching plays that are preaching, because I don't learn anything from that. I come away and go, but it doesn't resonate. It doesn't stay like echoes in my brain, as you once said about one of my pieces.
Yeah. And also, you know, the danger is that you uncover, and it can be a bit shattering, that you had a version of your own story, and this is breaking and questioning that version you've been living as yourself.
Yeah, that's true. And it is sort of like looking from the outside in whenever you write something really personal. And then I studied a sociology degree whenever I first left university. I was late getting into drama, as most people are whenever they have certain tragedies that they overcome within their life. And coming from a lower economic category, you do tend to be later in life following your dream or your passion. And I've sort of looked at it for the first time using that degree. But maybe I do use my degree in my writing, but I've just never really been as aware of it until now.
Well, Belfast Boy was very sociology-based.
Actually, yeah. Maybe I think it's because I dismissed that degree as a part of my life that I wasn't happy in. So I always think that it hasn't been useful, but it actually has. And I have a friend who is now head of the sociology department in Belfast, Dr. Philip, and... he always reminds me that I use it in every day, whereas I'm always like, no, I don't. No. But I actually do.
It's nothing to be ashamed of. You know.
I know.
Rewind back to the first empty page for this play, and then take us forward to it now being here at one of the world's biggest, well, the world's biggest arts festival.
So the piece itself has changed drastically, mainly because... I direct all my own work, and as a director, you have to be really strict about what you can bring to the Fringe. So I had to strip back. I originally wanted to set it in a tree fort. So that was something that was kind of like, economically, it wasn't going to work out because of...
Well, there were loads of trees in the centre of Edinburgh, weren't there?
But also, like, I just had to strip it all back and go for just something really, really simple, and we had this box, but the narrative itself changed, and I wasn't going to make it as personal, but I wanted to be as truthful as possible with the narrative of class and social mobility and how hard it is to come from the underclass, and that is the class structure that I actually come from. I grew up in benefits, and it's really difficult to get out of that. Everything's set against you, in particular at the education structure, and because it's all set up for the middle class to survive and to peak, and it's very difficult to get out of. And what I wanted to examine was how we can make that more accessible for people like me. It's not a narrative about my success story, because it's not a success story narrative, because I am not the anomaly. So many people that I know that I grew up around in the council estate that I grew up around are lawyers, teachers, doctors. We're constantly fed this stereotype of Benefits Britain and the scroungers, the fag-smoking, beer-swilling, drug-taking layabouts that just get money for free. Whereas benefits for most of us are a stopgap, and they're to help you get forward. And that is what I wanted to look at. I didn't want to go, this is the blueprint for success, because that's not what it is. It's more an analysis on how we can help people from my situation. And more like a situation.
So, but you've got your personal story then, and this is in a context that, you know, there's vast amounts that could be written about what's going on in a Northern Ireland that, you know, some people say the troubles are over, but it's becoming troubled again, isn't it?
I don't think that the troubles ever left. Like, I went back to university and I lived in Derry for a little while, and we were always hearing about punishment beatings, about, you know, so it's always there. And that religious divide, I actually had a friend from America over there for a few days, and I was trying to explain to her, because whenever you come from Northern Ireland and you grow up in the Troubles, you have to reflect on that if you're speaking about that time. So I did, and she was asking me questions about being divided by religion, and it's so strange for it to come out of your mouth in 2018 and speak of being sectioned by religion and by sex in a school environment, because it's so alien to the rest of the world. It's a totally alien concept. Even in England, when the DUP were to back up the Theresa May government, I was working in a restaurant, and the first question most customers would ask me was like, who are the DUP? And I was like, you don't want to know who they are.
Finally, three words or so to describe how you're feeling up at the Edinburgh Fringe right now.
I'm actually feeling good. We've had great reviews come in. We had 2 5-star reviews in yesterday. We got randomly the Daily Mail pick of the Fringe. I thought they were going to hate it. I was watching the play, and I was like, my God, this man hates it. Why is he here? But he actually gave us pick of the Fringe. But so feeling a good, positive place. I just need more sleep.
So that's Kat Woods watching the Daily Mail, watching her play. Thanks for talking to us.